everyone. Thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak. We are getting closer and closer to Christmas. I got a new Christmas shirt on. You see it? It's got two stormtroopers and Darth Vader in the middle. Underneath it, it says, "I find your lack of cheer disturbing." I get these shirts once in a while from family, and they're adorable. The problem is I do not stay the same size. Apparently, the older I get, the larger I get. So, my weight has always been something that I've struggled with. And as I've gotten bigger, some of the shirts don't fit anymore. So that's fun. I'm also not in my 20s anymore. So it seems the energy to go out and exercise like I used to have, I don't have. So there's that fun as well. But anyway, moving on. Let's talk about some stuff I heard, because I've been listening and watching a lot of things this week. I've weirdly found time to partake of a few things. I listened to Leanne Kreischer's podcast, Wife of the Party, where she talked about going on the Bert Kreischer comedy cruise that they did. Apparently, it was a lot of fun. I really wanted to go, but I didn't know anybody else that would want to go. In booking it, it was showing like each room is a double occupancy. So you have to imagine that they're booking it for more than one person per room. You can't just book a room and share a room with a stranger, because that's just kind of weird, right? So if I were to book it, it was going to be for an entire week, and it was going to be two beds. And like immediately I think, okay, who's available? Who do I know that's available and has money and can take time off of work and all this other stuff? And in my mind, I dwindled it down to zero. We had a lot of things going on here at the house that we had to plan for Christmas and get decorating for Christmas, because we're hosting a Christmas party, which we did last night for my wife's work. And so timing wise, I just knew it was going to be it just wasn't feasible. So I didn't go. Do I regret it? Kind of. Yes. I don't know why my hesitancy was there more than just that. I've thought about it, and I've thought that I know if I went on this cruise, it would be a lot of fun. I would probably drink a little more than normal, which I probably don't need to do. I'd probably eat more than normal, which I don't need to do. I'd have a lot of fun listening to a lot of comedians, and there were some live bands that signed on, and it would have been great. I'm a big fan of Leanne Kreischer as well. I'm a fan of their family. I'm a fan of the fact that Bert and Leanne have endured basically Bert being Bert and having a comedy career and having a podcast that was a hit, largely in part because he overshares. He overshares their information about their kids and where they live. And I've been listening to his podcast since the very beginning. So, you know, as a fan of his and eventually a fan of hers, her podcast, Wife of the Party, has been really good, because they talk about all of the things that that we need for growth and for being well-rounded. And if Bert is the kite in the wind, she is the anchor that holds him to the ground. And together they have done incredible things. And a lot of that is because of her. So I listened to a few of her podcasts this week. They're only about an hour long. I listened to a 2-hour one with Whitney Cummings and Bert stepping in once in a while to talk. That was great. But then I listened to her interview. Who was it? Chad Daniels, comedian Chad Daniels. Chad basically lives in the Midwest. He was doing well as a stand-up comedian, and he realized at a certain point that he just wanted to spend time with his family, so he moved out of LA and moved out to Wisconsin and got busy being a dad and would just travel on the weekends to do comedy to pay the bills. And he's a very good stand-up comedian. I've heard him on a lot of different syndicated radio shows over the years before radio kind of died down. And I've heard him on podcasts doing interviews, and he's hilarious. He doesn't have any plans on moving out of the Midwest. He loves it. I think he went through a divorce, and now he's dating another comedian a bit younger. Her name is Kelsey Cook. She is tremendously funny. She has a YouTube presence of... her family is professional foosball players. And so she learned at a very young age how to be very good at it. So she hustles people at foosball, and they'll talk trash and be like, "Oh, you think you're all that?" And she goes, "No, I know I am." So a lot of her comedy is just the fact that she's lived this weird life of being a child of two professional foosball players, and thusly has become a professional at the sport, but is also a very funny stand-up comedian. Anyway, they're together now, and they were both on a cruise, and they both had a good time. And there's lots of comedians that were on the cruise that had a good time. And Leanne is sort of the anchor that holds all of them together in a weird way. And it was fun to see her let loose a little bit and have fun with Miss Pat, doing karaoke on random nights and doing a Q&A with her girlfriends. They did a live podcast on the ship, and that was fun to listen to. So yeah, I enjoyed listening to that. I like that. I like to share with people what I think is interesting, because maybe you might find it interesting. I mean, that's kind of the point of this, right? So also, switching gears, talk about stuff I heard. as a comedian fan, I've always listened to Bob and Tom. They're out of Indianapolis originally, and that's where I first heard Miss Pat. That's where I first heard Mike Birbiglia, Chad Daniels. I mean, a lot of these comedians that I've learned to like come out of that Midwest area. And I'm not exactly sure where Mike Birbiglia is from, but he's been on he's been on their radio show before, and he's been on different podcasts before. He's interesting because for me, he has a very dry kind of roll into the joke situation. Like he's living this really interesting life, and at the same point, it's look at the thing that I'm going through, and isn't it absurd? And also, here's the funny part of it. He did a special called Sleepwalk With Me, where he talked about how he had very crippling sleepwalk problems, where he would manically wake up in the middle of the night and like run. And one night he got severely injured because he did that at a hotel off the third floor and crashed through a window and broke several bones, and it was bad. So anyway, he has a new Netflix special that came out about a month ago on Netflix. It's called The Old Man in the Pool. And he talks about how he's dealing with a lot of health issues related to family inheritance. His father and his father's before him passed away at the age of 56. And he said, "I'm getting older." So it's terrifying because I don't want to go that early. I have a daughter, and you know, he talks a lot about it, and he talks about how he's trying to get healthy, and he's going to the pool to work out. And it's funny. This special came out in August. I don't know why I said, no, it says first performance. Okay. So this is when it recorded in August, but it hit, Netflix and all that stuff about a month ago. Anyway, check it out. Mike Birbiglia, The Old Man in the Pool. Sometimes the funniest parts of your own life are the things that you survive, because you have to find the humor in things. You have to find the moments in which things are tough, and you find a way to spin it so that it helps, I don't know, release endorphins, motivate you in some way, or you find it relatable enough to share it with other people so that they're also like, "Oh yeah, you went through that too, man. Isn't that something?" Because I mean, you know, if you don't laugh at your situation, it's kind of depressing sometimes. So anyway, I started off the week watching a movie on Netflix. It's called Spiderhead. Now, why did I watch Spiderhead? I have no idea. It was on the feed of, "Hey, you like a lot of weird stuff. You'll probably like this." But I noticed right away, Chris Hemsworth on the screen. And I was like, really? Thor? Is not Thor? He's going to be some kind of, what is he in this? I don't understand what this is. And I watched the little blurb, and I'll read off to you what the blurb says about the movie. It says, two inmates form a connection while grappling with their past in a state-of-the-art penitentiary run by a brilliant visionary who experiments on his subjects with mind-altering drugs. Ooh, dun-dun-dun. Okay, so right off the bat, I recognized one of the main characters. His name's Miles Teller. I can't picture what I've seen him in, so I'm gonna click on it now because it's driving me crazy. I know I've seen him in all kinds of stuff. Oh, yeah, he was in Top Gun. He was the ace pilot. Yeah, okay, that's where I know him. And Divergent, of course. Yeah, he's a strapping fellow. Really good actor. Now, the movie sucked. The movie was awful. I thought that Miles Teller's performance was amazing. I thought that Liam Hemsworth was weird in the show. I mean, I buy him as Thor. I mean, he plays Thor really well. I don't know if I buy him as this. He's supposed to be this brilliant, you know, mega rich guy who's running this weird penitentiary. And I don't know. The whole premise of the show is just odd. It delves too far into the idea of things that are naturally happening with politics and drug manipulation and population control manipulation and that sort of thing. But I thought, again, I thought that Miles was great in this. Phenomenal performance. Yeah. This could have been a play, except that you wouldn't have been able to show the things that they showed because it was at parts very violent and at parts very graphic. Because they're using mind-controlling drugs to make you do things that you wouldn't normally do. So anyway, then I switched gears and I was like, okay, we need to watch something completely unlike anything I would normally watch. And I don't like scary movies, but I like suspenseful stuff. And M. Night Shyamalan has made a history of making suspenseful things that I enjoy. I mean, pretty much everything he makes I watch and I go, oh my God, I can't believe I like that. It terrified me, but also I liked it. This is another example. It's called Knock at the Cabin. It came out this year. It is now on Amazon, I think. Yeah, Amazon. Here's the premise of M. Night Shyamalan's suspenseful thing on Knock at the Cabin. While vacationing at a remote cabin in the woods, a young girl and her parents are taken hostage by four armed strangers who demand that they make an unthinkable choice to avert an apocalypse. Confused, scared, and with their limited access to the outside world, the family must decide what they believe before it is all lost.
Oh, no.
Now, I'll be honest. The main reason I watched this is because I noticed that one of the main characters was Dave Bautista. I love Dave Bautista in almost everything he does. It's amazed me that a professional fighter has turned into a full-fledged movie star. And he is a movie star in this. He's been in a lot of action things where he has, you know, cool lines and he has to look cool because he's a giant muscular man. I mean, he looks like the guy in the movies that you want to go, oh my God, he's coming after us, run, you know, or the guy that saves the day. He's just that guy. He looks like He-Man if He-Man were a bald and scary. But Dave is a sweetheart. And listen, in this movie, he really acts well. You get to see his acting chops. You get to see him become this guy who is a, you know, coach, a teacher. And he's trying to deal with a task that is overwhelming. And the performances in this are across the board great. I don't know how M. Night Shyamalan works to get people to give you their best. But everybody in this does really great. Now, it is graphic. It is terrifying. It is scary. Rupert Gint is in this for a brief moment. He was Ron Weasley in Harry Potter. He was so good in this. I didn't realize it was him until I brought it up on the IMDb. I was like, whoa, Ron Weasley? Get out of town. But yeah. Knock at the Cabin. It's only an hour and 40 minutes long. It is terrifying. I don't recommend watching this before you go to bed. If you're subject to that sort of thing where you watch something and then you go to sleep about it and you think about it, yeah, don't do that. Okay, so to clear my mind and to clear my heart, I wanted something to watch that would be upbeat. So Disney this week has released Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Now, I grew up as an Indiana Jones fan. I'm almost 50. Whenever Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom first came out, I was like, yes, awesome. You know, that was the thing. The Lost Ark. Which one was the first one? Was it Lost Ark? I don't know. Anyway, whatever. I got to admit, the Crystal Skull was terrible. The one he did with Sean Connery, not that great. This one was fun. I enjoyed this one. In every one of these, you need to have a decent bad guy And for whatever reason, with the time frame that Indiana Jones portrays in the movies, the Nazis were picked as the bad guys, and they always make good bad guys because you can look at them and right away you have a distaste for them. And Mads Mikkelsen plays the bad guy. He plays the guy that you hate. And right away you get a surprise appearance. I didn't even know she was going to be in this, but Phoebe Waller-Bridge, she plays basically Indiana Jones's goddaughter, and she's great. I think she makes the movie. Indiana, obviously Harrison Ford is getting to be old. He, my wife asked me, she goes, how is it? And she goes, boy, he looks rough. Yeah. He's 81 years old. They were clever in the way they wrote the story because you never really pay attention to the fact that he's 81, except for there's moments where he makes a comment of being old. And there's a lot of chase scenes, him on a horse, him in a car, him in a tuk-tuk. I mean, him in a boat. It's all fast-moving things, but also they could do it in a way where he's kind of stationary as it's going along, which is fine. I have no problem with that. He's still, at the end of the day, Indiana Jones. And the story is good. The story was interesting. It kept me captivated. I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it. There was comedy in it. There was nods to the former movies, all of the former movies. They made jokes about things. They sort of had old characters pop up. They had references to the snakes. I hate snakes. You know, all of that. All that was in it. I enjoyed it. It was a good time. So yeah, if you're looking for something to kind of clean your palate from watching scary stuff or watching depressing things, go check out Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. It was fun. It's on Disney Plus. I enjoyed it. I had a really good time watching it. And then I was in such a good mood. I was like, you know what? Let's watch something totally corny because I feel like that would be just the icing on the cake. So I did. I watched Best Christmas Ever. This is on Netflix. Stars Heather Graham, Jason Biggs, and Brandy. Remember Brandy, the music star? I haven't seen her do anything in a very long time. Maybe she took a pause to raise a family, probably. But I watched it because I knew watching the previews that it was going to be hokey and silly and, you know, not one of those blockbuster hits, but also it's a decent movie. It's a decent family movie. And it was. It was a decent family movie. I enjoyed it. I shouldn't like it. There's a lot of it that's really stupid. Here's the premise of the whole thing. Every year at Christmas, Jackie sends a cocky newsletter to her friend Charlotte. Fate brings Charlotte and Jackie's doorsteps. Brings Charlotte to Jackie's doorsteps. As a result, Charlotte tries to prove that her friend's life is not perfect. Oh no, what could happen? Oh, she finds out it is not perfect, and she's just trying to spin the positive, okay, like we all are. And at the end of the day, they're good friends, and they're all good friends. And their families get together, and they have a great time. Heather Graham, weirdly, is... I remember her first coming up as being the hot girl in movies. And then she became the funny girl. And then she was the hot funny girl. And now she's the hot funny woman. She's a woman. But she's also very silly. She's got a silly personality. And it comes across on the screen. And it makes it really fun for everybody. Jason Biggs is a dad. He is the dad that you would expect him to be. He doesn't mind being the butt of the joke. He also has got a good heart. And that comes across on the screen as well. And they didn't, in making this movie, they didn't forget the fact that Brandy is a music star. So they do have a couple of moments where she gets to sing. And it's like, oh, and now she's going to sing. And then you hear her sing. And you're like, oh, that was lovely. That was actually very nice. Thank you. Thank you for that, Brandy. You were very talented. I could just imagine them doing casting and going, and this part will do something. And she goes, why don't I just sing a song? And they're like, okay. I mean, I don't know how that happened, but I could just imagine. But anyway, if you're looking for something kind of fun to watch with your family, Best Christmas Ever is a cute little, they call it a romantic comedy. It's just a comedy. It's cute. It's fun for the family, I think. All right. So I was feeling a little bit full of myself, and I thought, all right, I'm ready to watch something depressing again. I don't know why I think those things. What's wrong with me? Is it some kind of balance that I'm seeking? I don't even know. Some morbid fascination, sort of like people who see a car wreck and have to slow down and go, oh, look at that body. Oh, I see a body. You know, is it that? I don't think so. I mean, usually when I see a car wreck, I go, I don't even want to see this. So here it is. This came out Friday. It's a movie. It's on Netflix. It's called Leave the World Behind. Now, in the previews, I see Julia Roberts being a terrible person. I see Ethan Hawke being this laid-back dad, husband of hers. I see Kevin Bacon looking like he's a militant prepper. And I see this guy that I've recognized from other things that I can't quite place. His name is, I'm going to butcher the way I pronounce this, and I'm sorry. Maharashal Ali. What has he been in that I've seen him in? He's been in a lot of stuff. Oh, True Detective. He was in the second season. He was in Moonlight, Hunger Games, Blade. Yeah, a lot of stuff. He's phenomenal. He's my age. He's a handsome fella. He looks like he's capable of handling himself, but also has seen some stuff in his life. I mean, he's great. So here's the premise of Leave the World Behind, because I saw this on the blurb that they shoot, and really quickly it just shows people panicking and lots of eerie music and Kevin Bacon with a gun, and you're like, whoa, what the heck is going on? So the blurb is, a family vacation on Long Island is interrupted by two strangers bearing news of a blackout. As the threat grows, both families must decide on how to best survive the potential crisis while grappling with their own place in this collapsing world. So right away, I'm like, well, that sounds like a good time, right? Now, the most disturbing part of this whole thing, everybody does a great job acting in this, okay? It's creepy. The kids are super creepy. The parents are awful. Julia Roberts plays a awful person. There's no shaking it. She's just an awful person in this movie. The thing that is hard to get around is the fact that the executive producers were Michelle and Barack Obama. Now, let me say it again. This is a post-apocalyptic movie. This is about an apocalypse happening. How to take over a country, basically 101 of how to take over America. And it's executive produced by Michelle and Barack Obama. Yeah, that was the scariest part of the whole thing. I think the acting was great. I think the weird special effect of the hundreds of deer was great. If you don't know, you'll see it. I don't know. The acting was great. You know, Julia Roberts always plays America's sweetheart sort of stuff in everything she's in. And then this, she's literally the woman that you hate. Yeah. You relate to her, but you also hate her, if that makes any sense. And I've always said that when you find a character that you hate, you weirdly hate them because they're a part of you. I think even Jewel had a song like that. Pieces of You was her song. If you don't know it, check out Jewel's song, Pieces of You. Anyway, Leave the World Behind, terrifying. Terrifying, terrifying, terrifying. Mainly because of the president's involvement in that, ex-president, former president, whatever you want to call it. So I needed to rebound. I needed a psychological punch in the back in the right direction. So I saw this advertised and I knew right away it would get me out of that funk. Family Switch. Jennifer Garner and Ed Helms play the parents in this classic storyline of, you don't know how easy you had it. I wish I were you. And then all of a sudden they wake up and they're the other person. But the whole family does it. So we've seen stuff like this before where, you know, moms switch with their daughter or dad, or a son switches with their dad. But this is the entire family switches. And it's pretty interesting. I thought it was fun. Here's the premise. When family members switch bodies with each other during a rare planetary alignment, their hilarious journey to find their way back to the normal will bring them closer together than they ever thought possible. I started watching this and I wanted to hate it. I was so angry at watching the other thing that I was like, I'm just going to turn this on because it looks silly and Jennifer Garner does silly really well and so does Ed Helms and I'm sure it'll bring me out of a funk. And as soon as it starts, I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this. And then I liked it. I liked it a lot. I loved it. I was telling other people, hey, if you're looking for something fun to watch with your family, check out Family Switch. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. Does it do all of the typical things you think it will do? Yes. Does everybody have a shining moment at the end? Sure they do. Is any of it relatable? No, not one bit. Is it still fun? Yes. Yes, it is. Still fun. So, yeah. Family Switch. Check it out. Jennifer Garner at Helms. Really talented kids. Brady Noon looks familiar. I'm sure I've seen him in stuff. What have I seen him in? None of those. Because he's 17 and I don't watch those. The daughter playing Cece Walker is Emma Myers. What has she been in? Oh, Emma Myers was in Wednesday. She was Wednesday Addams' best friend. Oh, I like her. She's great. She's great in this. They're all great. Everybody's great. Even Brady. They're all very, very talented. We're going to see Emma Myers and Brady Noon as main characters of something coming up. I know it. But the funniest part about this was the cameos. Not cameos, but the comedians who would pop up in between things. Fortune Feimster, Howie Mandel, Pete Holmes, Paul Scheer. There's lots of comedians. King Bach. There's lots of comedians that would just pop up as like characters in the show. And I was like, oh my God, that's so, you know, yeah. Fantastic. So anyway, all right, the last thing. I know I've watched a lot of stuff. I don't normally watch this stuff, but I had a lot of free time on my hands, weirdly, in the mornings, and then I would get home and make dinner and we'd eat and I'd sit down and go, why don't I just watch something? Because I, you know, whatever. It's my thing. This is called The Outlaws. This stars Adam Devine. Adam Devine has been in lots of things. He's a great comedian and actor. Here's the premise of Outlaws. Owen Browning is a straight-laced banker, bank manager, about to marry the love of his life, Parker. When his bank is held up by the ghost bandits during the wedding week, he believes his future in-laws, who just arrived into town, are those outlaws. Now, the outlaws are Pierce Brosnan, that's right, 007, and Ellen Barkin. This is funny in a way that I didn't expect to be funny. Like, Adam Devine is just so over the top with physical humor. And Pierce Brosnan has an unusual sense of humor as well. But again, this is the thing I didn't expect, I guess, because this is also made by Adam Sandler. He convinced a lot of people to be in it, a lot of comedic actors. Lauren Lapkus, Richard Kind. Where's the list? Michael Rourke. His wife, Jackie Sandler. Of course, she's going to be in it. Blake Anderson. I mean, there's a lot of people that Adam Devine has made movies with before, but there's a lot of characters in this where you're like, oh my God, look at the list of people that just pop up in this. It's incredible. It's really incredible. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with the success of Adam Devine. What was he in? Was it Workaholics? I think that was his big thing. Yeah, Workaholics. Everybody that was in Workaholics is in this with him. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So listen, I've had a full week of ups and downs with movies and shows, things that were scary, things that were funny, things that were heartfelt, things that were beautiful. And I got to imagine that all of it is supposed to help balance. It's supposed to help us all like find a grounding within ourselves and help us to figure out life, because each one of these things are, we're looking for reflections of these elements of these characters in our life, right? It sort of helps us whenever we meet people to size them up and determine whether or not they're a good person or a bad person, or if someone's sense of humor is really lighthearted or just trying to be mean. I mean, it's all like a form of survival in a way, right? I thought about this week as I'm watching it. I'm like, am I watching all of this stuff as a form of survival? So I'm trying to determine if I can better understand people. And I think so. I think that's really the root of it. I think that's my fascination with people that are different than me. I think it is the idea of I'm aware that I don't know everything, and I'm aware that other people make a living way different than I do, and I'm fascinated by how they do that. I want to understand it. But in that process, like, I'm also trying to find common ground between people who are completely different than me and in my life. And I'm sure we all do that in some version, or maybe I just overthink it. That's probably true. I should have named the podcast The Overthinker, because that's it. But anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you want to be on the podcast and talk about something, let me know. If you have a subject you're interested in or something you think I would like, let me know. And, you know, the way you help us out is just go on the little links and share this with your friends. Click the like button, click the share button, and thank you. Till next time, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.